Welcome into a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I am chatting with David Erfley, founder and editor of the Junior Minor Junkie. David and I got to spend a little time over the weekend in Vancouver as he was attending, along with me, the Vancouver Resource Investment Conference. I also got to meet up with a couple of listeners, which, hey, I greatly appreciate you guys emailing me and taking some time out to, well, watch some football and hang out at the show. David, let's get a general recap. Your perception of what that show was like in Vancouver from an attendance sense, from a mood sense, and whatever else caught your eye, please.
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, it started off like they usually do on a Sunday when we have a lot of retail and it's buzzing a little bit. And but toward the end of the day on Sunday, it tapered down a bit. And then on Monday, it was a lot more subdued. There's optimism in the companies that have really good projects and they have some cash and they have good share structures and they just keep plugging away and they know that eventually the sector will turn and they know that major mining companies need to replace these high grade ounces that they're mining, so they just keep doing what they're doing and the ones with good projects are optimistic, and the ones that don't have any cash right now and maybe have some sketchy projects. I didn't see any optimism in companies like that. So the really good companies are few and far between, and you just got to do a lot of work to find them.
Boy, are they ever few and far between. There were a lot of companies at that show, hundreds of companies. And I have to say, walking around and knowing of still a lot of these companies, there were hundreds that really have nothing going for them, have trouble raising money, don't have any money, and quite frankly, don't have a project that's very interesting right now. But that just goes to note of the overall sector, right? And that's one thing that I think is great about these shows is that you can get around and talk to however many companies you want. But also one of the problems, David, and maybe you can address this, is that I know some of the listeners that showed up to the show, and I've talked back and forth with them, they said, you know what, like, I didn't find I got much out of the actual speeches from a lot of these commentators. They're always so bullish on the metals, and they seem to be digging the same holes that they've been digging for a while, trying to say that these are the reasons why it should be going up. And quite frankly, people, I think, are just tired of those stories.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's, you kind of do hear the same mantra from the Perma Bowl. It's just not conducive to smart investing in the sector. You know, this is a great time to be accumulating. It is a good time to be doing a lot of research, and you do have that time to do that research because it doesn't look like it's going to be breaking out anytime soon. So, I'm with you there. But like you said, on the flip side of that, at these conferences, since there is not a lot of people there, you do have a lot of time to go to these to go to the booths with the company that have the companies that are doing the right things and have a good project, have a good management team, and you could spend a lot of time talking with them and ask the right questions you need to ask, because you know, once this thing finally gets into a bull market, you're not going to have very much opportunity to speak to these guys. The crowds are going to be a lot bigger.
Exactly. And that's one of the biggest changes when we are still in, quite frankly, a slow and ignored market. That's what I like about these conferences. You do get a chance to talk to whatever companies you want, and there are still a couple good ones. Plus, right now, you ask some of the simplest questions, and you can really separate some of those strong companies from some of those weak companies. Let's also talk about what's going on in the gold market, though. Gold has been trading in a very tight range. It can't quite break above 1,300, but seems to consistently be supported right about 1,280. What does this tell you about how we're moving through the first month of the year and gold again isn't breaking out or down?
Yeah, it's encouraging. And while this is happening, while gold is trading in this tight range, the GDX is rolling over, but it's rolling over on decreasing volume, and it looks like it's creating a bullish falling wedge here right above the 50-day moving average. So I mentioned in my article last week that I thought that gold was going to continue to consolidate in that Fed meeting, which is next Wednesday. So it looks like that might happen, because that's the gold is just waiting for it appears that gold is just waiting for what's going to come out of the Fed's mouth. And remember, this year there's going to be a press conference after each meeting. So these computer algo trades are going to be set to words and phrases, and so you could say the price could move one direction on the speech and then quickly reverse on what he says at a press conference. So I really think that the catalyst to either break it up to either have the gold price take another crack at 1300 and maybe get to around 1350 will happen on the back of whatever comes out of that Fed meeting. Either it's going to break down and test 1240, 1250, or it's going to finally break over 1300 for a little bit and have a run towards that really strong support at 1350 area. So, I mean, strong resistance to that 1350 area. So I'm expecting something like that.
Okay. And in all fairness, I'm expecting no change in policy from the Fed. They are still going to just be saying that they're watching the markets and watching economic factors. But what happens in that press conference is what is going to be important. All the questions that Jerome Powell will have to face. I also want to just discuss from a technical perspective, gold on the daily chart finally did reach an overbought territory very early on in 2019. This is the first time it reached an overbought territory since that run in 2016. An overbought territory, yes, it does tell us that a pullback should come and would be very natural, but an overbought territory is also something that consistently happens in bull markets. So now that gold is, for the most part, maintaining this higher range, it helps to reset some of these momentum and strength technicals and potentially lead to another run higher. Can you share what you think of the significance between gold finally getting to an overbought territory and now working back off that territory, but not falling straight out of bed?
Yeah, I think it's very encouraging because, as you've heard me say before, that 1300 to 1309 level is very, very strong resistance. So when you see it reach there and being overbought when it gets there and just consolidating around there as opposed to reversing hard from it, that's very encouraging. And it's tied to the stock market beginning to roll over here now, it looks like, and the U.S. dollar may be beginning to roll over. So all this is happening into that Fed meeting. So it's going to be very interesting what's going to take place here next week. But I do find it very encouraging, and it just tells you that gold is still being bid because people, investors are still very unsure about what's going to happen here. I mean, we've got the government shutdown, we've got China, the U.S. China trade war is still going on, and the Chinese economy has slowed down. And it's going to be very interesting what's going to happen here in the next month or two.
Yeah, in no way is this giving us the all clear, right, to get into the metals, but it is part of a general move towards maybe some investors putting some money into the precious metals. It's actually a better market when we see just a steady climb rather than a skyrocketing climb for gold, isn't it?
Absolutely. And you've also got, the Democrats are preparing to put some sort of impeachment procedures on Trump. I mean, it looks like it's inevitable to me. So we got that hanging over the markets that would give a boost to gold also. So there's, the political situation, there's the economic situation, there's the global growth slowdown situation, all these things that I've mentioned before, which I believe will keep gold above that level.
All right, David, final comment. Something you brought up to me off mic is that due to this government shutdown, we haven't been getting any commitment of trader reports. Not that we're expecting maybe huge changes in these commitment of trader reports, but it's interesting to see that we haven't gotten any of them. So it gives some, again, of those bulls, I think, that point to these reports as being extreme on one end or the other. It's not giving them that ammo.
Right. I mean, we're in the dark as to what the speculators are doing and what the commercials are doing. We haven't had a commitments prepared traders report all year. So I don't put a huge amount of stock in those reports, but they are helpful to gauge sentiment.
All right, we're going to wrap it up at that. But David, it was great seeing you in Vancouver. It was unfortunate to see your Patriots win, but you know what? It was at least a pretty good game. We will be chatting again next week. Thanks again for all the time that you spend on our website. Thanks again for wrapping up what your thoughts were of that conference. And if anybody has any questions for David regarding stocks or sector specifics, please email me at fleck@kereport.com. Have a great rest of your week there, Dave.
You too, Corey. Thanks a lot.